go ahead and get started. Should I turn that on? In Mark 15:1, it does say that they bound the hands of Jesus. And so this is, and basically when you bind someone, you put a limitation on what they can do. And so we're going to do that. I have no idea what to expect in the next 30 minutes or so, but anyway, let's go through this. See, we read how the enemies of Jesus bound him in preparation for sending him to Pilate. And as we read this, it is easy for our hearts to be filled with sadness and even with a touch of righteous indignation for that crowd that bound Jesus in such a way. And yet there are many today who are guilty of binding the hands of Jesus in a figurative way. See, in his great love for us, Jesus stretched out his hands and died for our sins. And even today, through his gospel, he pleads with all people to take advantage of his vicarious suffering. Because he didn't deserve that suffering, but he took it in your place. He suffered because you have sinned. And we all have sinned. And so he does not want us to suffer for the guilt of our own sins. And that's very true. So that's why he died for us. See, Matthew 11, 28 and 30 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light." So we're going to notice some ways to bind the hands of Jesus. And it might be possible that you will see yourself in here as well. See, by refusing to obey the gospel, I mean, you're binding the hands of Jesus, because in truth, his tender invitation of Matthew 11, 28 is still being offered today. And he wants people to come to him. And God wants people to come to him. And so when we refuse to obey the gospel, we're refusing what Jesus wants. And see, the hands of Jesus are bound because his saving gospel, the ability he has to save your soul, is being ignored. And so there's no way such a person can then receive the benefits of Jesus' death. For him or her, the death of Jesus was in vain. Didn't mean anything. And so that's what happens when you refuse to obey the gospel. And I might ask, is this true of you? But right now in this room, okay, we pretty much know the answer to that. But if you have not accepted the gospel and the commands of Jesus, which we have, and so if it is, then you will one day have to face the righteous indignation of Jesus himself. You know, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9 talks about his angels will come with mighty wrath upon those who do not know God and those who do not keep his commandments. Obedience to the gospel is one of those commands. But even those who obey the gospel can be guilty of binding the hands of Jesus. Now, how can they do so? Well, let's notice. One way is by refusing to be transformed. Here's a problem with a lot of people. Yes, they go through the motions. They hear the gospel. They believe, repent, confess, and are baptized. But they don't make any changes in their life. We talk about we've got to put off the old self and put on the new. I mean, we're supposed to walk in newness of life. We're supposed to be a new creature if we're in Christ. And some people are just do not want to change their ways. And so it is the will of Christ that we be transformed. You know, Romans 12, 1 and 2, this is what we're supposed to do. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of Christ. And then so Ephesians 4, 20 talks about the renewing of our minds to make sure we put away the old and put on the new. See, this renewal occurs as we read, study, and meditate upon the Word of God. You know, 1 Peter 1:23 and all the way through chapter 2 and verse 2. Yeah, I mean, read. Put away the anger, wrath, malice, and slander, and long for the pure milk of the word, which is able to save your souls. And yes, we also read in Philippians 4:8, there's a lot of things we need to let our minds dwell upon. Think about these things, those things that are good and honorable and just. We got to think about righteous things. We got to think about spiritual things. And when we do that, we're going to be in good shape. But many Christians neglect the instrument by which we can be renewed. And yes, that is the Word of God. Many do not receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. James 1:21. And many allow other things to take precedence in our lives so that they really, in a figurative sense, bind the hands of Jesus, not making the proper changes in their lives. We are supposed to be an example to others. And when we refuse to show Christ in our lives, we're binding the hands of Jesus, when you think about it that way. And so, are we guilty of this? We have to answer that question ourselves. We are if we neglect to study the Bible on our own. And so, yes, this is another way. When we don't learn what God wants us to know, because God wants us to learn these things, and He wants us to share these things. If we don't learn these things, then we neglect our Bible study, how can we be approved before God? See, if we fail to take advantage of opportunities to study with others, we're depriving not only Jesus of the ability He has to save souls, but we're depriving those souls of hearing the message of the cross. And so we must take advantage of opportunities to study with others. Sometimes we need help learning something, and sometimes we can help others learn things. Sometimes they neglect the transforming power of the Word of God, and we are just as guilty of binding the hands of Jesus as were those who delivered Him to Pilate. Just as guilty. In fact, there's a passage in Hebrews talks about the fact that when we turn our back on Him, it's as if we crucify Him all over again. So we can also be guilty of binding the hands of Jesus. Now here's something else which you might not really consider. By refusing to pray. I mean, by refusing to pray, you're in essence binding the hands of Jesus. Because Jesus is here. He is our high priest. And yes, we are to pray to our high priest. Now on earth, we wouldn't pray to the high priest. We would want to pray to God. But most of the time, the high priest would be the go-between person to do that. Now, He became man for this very purpose. Hebrews 2, 17 and 18 talks about that fact. That's why He came here, to be our high priest. And yes, He couldn't on this earth, before He died, He couldn't because He was of the wrong tribe. He was the tribe of Judah. And Judah was not allowed to be doing those things, the temple sacrifices and the temple prayers. Only Levites could do that. So, when Jesus died and, of course, established His church, then all of a sudden, that's the reason He did so. And Jesus has made it possible for us to boldly approach the throne of grace in prayer. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, let us boldly approach the throne of grace. And the word boldly doesn't mean arrogantly, it means with strength. Knowing that when we approach God and talk to Him, God will listen. And we ask God to take care of us and watch over us and keep us safe. And we can do so with confidence. First of all, knowing that we're asking things according to His will. That is also there. We have to ask God things according to His will, and He will grant those. But we also have to be in a right relationship with God. We cannot be weak and stumbling around and have this approach of boldly coming to God because we recognize our own inequalities, our own failures. And so that's what we need to do. as our high priest. He is able to save those who come to God through him. Hebrews 7:25. And he always lives to make intercession for us. Jesus is always there. So when we begin praying to God, our Father which art in heaven, Jesus is the one who made this possible. And so he is making that intercession for us. When we ask for forgiveness, Jesus basically says, God, okay, clean their slate, please. And because he is Jesus, he is God, God will do so. See, when we don't pray as we should, Jesus cannot be our high priest or our intercessor. If we just do it every once in a while, well, what about the rest of the time? He is supposed to be our priest and high priest and our king all the time. But if we just do it every now and then, and we're not consistent with it, what does that say? So really, figuratively, we've taken the praying hands of Jesus and bound them behind his back. Tied them up so that he cannot be effective in what he was designed to do. He was designed to come to this earth and be our Savior. And if we don't acknowledge him, then he can't do what he was designed to do. And we ask the question, are we doing this? And what a travesty it is if we don't pray to God. For here is Jesus who lives to intercede for us, but who can't, because we prevent him from doing so by our failure to pray. Think about that. Next time you say your prayer, if you don't pray, you're really tying the hands of Jesus in that sense. And so there's another way to be guilty of binding the hands of Jesus: by refusing to do our part in the church. That's right. The church is described as the body of Christ. Ephesians 1:22-23. The church is his body. And the church is Christ. As his body, we are individually members one of another, with Christ as the head. 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 13, all the way through the end of the chapter. We are that. Romans chapter 12, in just a few verses, says pretty much the same thing. We're many members, but we have one body. And we're all members one of another. And as members of one another, we are to care for one another. There's a lot of them. We talked about the one another passages as we went through our study on the second greatest command. And so Ephesians 4:15-16 talks about the care we're supposed to have for each other. All right. It is through such mutual edification that Christ provided much of his help for the members of his body. Each member must do their part, Ephesians 4:16. Yeah, we speak the truth in love in Ephesians 4:15, and then each of us supplies what we can to this body. When we fail to do our share, again, Jesus is bound. See, just as our physical head can do little if our bodily members fail to follow its leading, so it is with Jesus and his church. Now, how can my body not do? Well, people get sickness. They get disease that prevents them from functioning as a normal body would. And sometimes there's uncontrollable movements because something just isn't connecting right. And it can happen. But it's a real tragedy when we facilitate such activity in ourselves. When we fail to do what we can for the church, then, we're causing a problem. And it really is a problem. And Jesus could do so much more for his members if only more members did their part. That's not hard to figure out. It's pretty simple to understand. So, maybe you haven't ever considered it this way. That by failing to do our part, we handicap the body of Christ. We're putting a handicap on it because our members, we're all supposed to be out here doing what we can to promote the gospel and share the gospel message. And if we don't do our part, how do we expect to grow? See, that because of our neglect or apathy or lukewarmness, either the whole body of Christ suffers or others are forced to do double duty in order to make up the difference. Sometimes some people do. In fact, that's usually the case with most congregations. They have, it doesn't matter what percentage of people, there's always that small percent that basically gets everything done. And just a small percentage. And that's the way it is. And when you have a smaller group, that makes it very hard if one of them all of a sudden can't do what they normally do. So there's many ways we can be just as guilty of binding the hands of Jesus today as were the religious leaders in delivering Jesus to Pilate. But we'll consider one more: by refusing to share the gospel with the lost. I mean, this is the way we bind the hands of Jesus. Jesus has made his disciples to be his hands and taken the gospel to the lost. And we even sing that song. Christ has no hands but our hands to do his will today. So yes, and consider Matthew 28, 19 through 20. He talks about the fact, not only go teach all nations and baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've said to you. Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And 1 Peter 2, 9 talks about the fact we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people for God's own possession, that we may declare the excellencies of him with whom we have to do. And so, yes, that is our purpose as Christians, is to share the gospel message. And if we refuse to do that, we're binding the hands of Jesus, because it's only the gospel message that's going to be able to save souls. And Jesus works the same way today, through the Word. And so we need to present the Word. When we keep the good news to ourselves, what happens? We have bound the hands of Jesus once again, because the knowledge that we have is supposed to be shared. It doesn't do any good to learn if you're not going to share it. It really doesn't do any good at all. So we hinder Jesus from telling others of his wonderful grace. So are we binding the hands of Jesus in this way? Well, we have to answer that question for ourselves. Every day, countless souls die with no hope of eternal life. We realize that. Yeah, we talk about the people who are dying from COVID. Lots of people are dying from COVID. But how many of them have a good relationship with God? Probably very few. I've heard of several. Yes, faithful Christians have died too. And, I mean, it happens. But every day, one of my sermons, I did the research, 151,000 people die every day from various causes. Some of it from disease, some of it from accidents, some of it by murder, and some just by suicide, and some natural causes. People are dying. And when they die, they have no hope of eternal life because they haven't recognize God and Jesus. And so when we deprive people of the gospel message, we're depriving them of the hope that only Jesus offers. And this need not be if more made sharing of the gospel the primary concern in their lives. And that's what we need to do. And sadly, in too many cases, the primary concern of Christians is the pursuit of pleasure and acquisition of worldly treasures. And you might say, well, I disagree with that statement. But let's face it, if we're not sharing the gospel message, what is our pursuit in? Think about that. Our pursuit can be in learning the will of God. Well, that's good. But we are supposed to share the gospel message with others. All right. One does not have to literally take the hands of Jesus and tie them up. to be guilty of the same sort of offense that we read about in Mark 15:1. And so as we've seen, there are many other ways as well. And so let's hope that we don't do that. So why not today resolve to loose the hands of Jesus so that in us and through us, he may accomplish his full desire, which is, number one, to save us, number two, to transform us, and number three, to use us. That's what Jesus has us here for. See, when we read in Ephesians 2:10, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Why? Because God designed us to do those good works. He had these plans from the beginning. So do not bind the hands of Jesus in your life. It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do anybody else any good either. So consider those thoughts. That's our lesson. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone does need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.